Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 485. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
The end of the show is always so much better than the beginning. Always.
It is, because some people continue to imbibe. Although Earl has come pre-imbibed.
Pre-imbibed. But, I mean, to be fair, almost every show has a better final episode than first episode.
This is true. Pilots are—they're not always great.
Yeah. So endings
finales though often suck too.
I don't know if they often. I think that's more of a recent thing. Because I think we've kind of gotten accustomed to big elaborate shows that don't necessarily know how to stick the ending. Where older days, like a lot of shows were just sitcoms and dramas, which were kind of procedural. So the big endings were always like, "Oh, these characters are moving on to something new." Yeah. Which, I mean, in the grand scheme is kind of a trope, but it's also just kind of like, oh, it's a new chapter. Where now you have to finish off story lines, and a lot of the times that's just not really satisfactory for a lot of people. I'm looking at you, How I Met Your Mother. Still mad.
Because you never met the mother? Is that the
no, issue? You do meet the mother. You meet, okay, spoiler alert for a show that ended like 5 years.
Is she the umbrella lady?
Yes. So you do meet her, and like you meet her in the final season, but like they get together in the final episode, and like the first 10 or 15 minutes, she dies. And so it's like, oh, okay, so this is really a story about like how your mother died, and I'm trying to get permission to date your Aunt Robin, who I kept on telling you about for the last 10 years. So,
oh, that's creepy.
That is kind of weird.
I don't know.
It's one of those endings where, and they've admitted to it as much, that they had it in mind from like the first or second season, and they just never changed their mind, even though the show direction dictated that they should have changed their mind long ago. So it's one of the cases where they had the ending planned out, and the show went in a complete different direction, but they kept with it. Where a lot of other shows are just like, we're going to make up this ending. And that doesn't always work either. But we're not here to talk about shows, as we are,
I mean, we can talk about whatever we want.
This is true.
We can.
That's the rule.
Nobody's stopping us.
So let's talk about this impeachment.
I believe Jeff should be impeached for not being on the episode.
Sure.
For not being on this episode.
And I don't really know if we have a bylaw that allows for impeachment of cast members.
We should create one right now.
We should. And
he didn't have a good enough
Jeff.
Excuse. It was just, I'm not coming.
Yeah, he didn't even
have
an excuse.
You have to have a reason.
Damn, I'm out tonight, guys. Like, all right. Cool, I guess.
Just doesn't like us anymore. Peach that bastard.
Peach that bastard.
But yeah, video games.
We're talking video games.
I don't have a big list here, so actually I don't have anything from Earl. Earl, did you play anything this week?
Did I play anything this week? That is a good question. I played some more Pokemon, which I've talked about constantly, so that doesn't need to change anything. And I am not buying time by talking right now to see if I played anything in my Xbox right now as it turns on. You know, I'm just kind of talking and chilling and stuff like that. The usual. Oh, I started Sea of Thieves. There we go.
Okay.
There's something.
It left such a lasting impression on you.
The sad thing is I actually had fun with it.
Well, you know, you can drink in that game, too.
And yes, you can.
By your friends.
To the point of puking.
You can throw up on your enemies, too.
That's more fun to throw up on your friends, though.
But yes, it was kind of one of those things where some friends were, you know, they had a quiet weekend in, and they wanted to play some games, and we were trying to figure out a cross-platform title for PC, for Steam and Xbox. Because apparently there's a difference between having a cross-platform game for PC and consoles and having one for Steam and consoles. So there are games that have PC and console, but not Steam and console. There's actually a very, very small number of games that have Steam and console crossplay. And as Sea of Thieves is on Xbox Game Pass, and it's on the PC Game Pass as well, So, you know, I've always been curious about this. I was a Rare fan. At some point, I think. I don't know when. I don't like Donkey Kong Country. I guess I go to Die in Perfect Dark.
Sure. Those are the high points for me for Rare. So.
So, yeah.
See, this is why Jeff should show up, because he would rattle off a list of games that he loves from them, but he's not here to defend them, so he's been impeached.
And Rare sucks. That's our conclusion, because Jeff was not there to provide.
We've impeached Rare while we're at it.
Yes. Down with Rare. Everybody knows you need to have it medium.
So
I don't know if I agree with that one.
Are we not? What? How do we take our stakes?
I do medium rare.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
You want a little bit of juice coming out of that thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's acceptable. As long as nobody's here saying, well done, fine with it.
No, that's
why would you eat red meat at
that
point?
Just throw it away at that. Yeah, you don't eat that.
Well, random fun fact. At some point, we will talk about more video games. I went to Canada once. I've gone to Canada several times. But I went to Canada once, and I was going to order. I went to a restaurant. I'm like, oh, wait, I'm going to get a steak. And I'm like, medium. And they're like, oh, we only do steaks. Like, we only cook our meat well done in this country. And I'm just like, can I change my order? But apparently it's a Vancouver thing. It's not necessarily all of Canada. But yes, they do not. Like, you can't order your meat anyway but well done. Because apparently they're afraid of some illness or something. Whatever. I've never been
there's sick. Probably like laws.
Yeah, there are laws, but it's like who does that? Like, why would you have meat medium? I mean, well done. Like, why does eat well eat your car tire?
Right. At that point, yeah. Just, you know, not eat it at all. If the government's mandating that it's gotta be cooked at a certain length and it, you know, it's burnt to a crisp now, you can't eat that. Who'd want it ever?
That is, it's awful, and Canada, you should fix that. But to get back to video games,
this is the Red Meat podcast.
The Red Meat and the TV show podcast.
Wait, what do you guys like on your burgers? That's really what I want to know.
Cheese.
What kind of cheese?
Any kind.
Any kind? All right,
I don't know about any. I don't know about any kind.
No, not yeah, maybe not any kind. But you know,
like I've seen people do blue cheese, and it's so crumbly that it's really bad for a burger.
Cheese that melts.
Yeah, I like cheddar. I like mozzarella. Either one of those are fine. Provolone's okay, but provolone doesn't taste like much sometimes.
I like provolone with a meatball sandwich.
Yeah,
I
like provolone on my actual sandwiches when it doesn't have to like it doesn't overpower it. It's just kind of like. Accentuates it, but as for burgers, I'm a huge pickles fan. I know not everybody's a pickled person.
I love pickles. Pickles are delicious.
Depending on my mood, sometimes some ketchup, lettuce and tomato. I actually, if I can get it, I prefer barbecue sauce.
Yes, I go for the barbecue sauce. It's good stuff.
But not everybody does that.
I mean, I don't love barbecue sauce, but it is just decidedly better than ketchup.
Chris, do you even put a condiment on your burger?
Cheese.
And what of you?
You know, I like chips on my burger. Get a little crunch. So sometimes at home, I'll make a burger. It'll have I'll do like a spicy chip and guacamole with like a Monterey Jack cheese. Really good.
Monterey Jack's good cheese, yep.
Okay, just as a quick aside, I mean, not as a side, this is on topic, but so not video game related. Do you folks do any other burgers?
Like a turkey burger?
Well, turkey, but there are places here that do like shark burger. They'll do, I've had other meats, but like, they'll do other stuff with it. It's not every place you go to, it's like specialty burger shops in the city.
Yeah, there's I've had, they said it was a bison burger. I don't believe that, but.
Yeah, you kind of realize that most meats after a while kind of taste like three things. It either tastes like chicken, it kind of tastes like fish, or it tastes like pork. and seafood's its own beast. Well, so is snail. I guess snail's... That is super chewy, though.
I don't like snail.
I don't want a snail burger. I'm just
No, I wouldn't eat a snail burger. I've had actual snail before. I think I explained this when I came back from Europe last year when I went to the hot pot and had snail and octopus and squid and all that fun jazz. But so that's it's a nice little thing. I have work events sometimes and they'll have some really nice kind of gourmet like mini burgers, or yesterday we had meatballs, we had what else did we have? We had like a little pita with peas hummus. Very good, nice finger foods, but we'll sometimes have, we've had some really good burger stuff.
Nice. Burgers are good.
I like burgers.
Yeah. With a nice cold beer.
I mean, anything with a nice cold beer.
I mean, you can
Tony
drink
has
that
his
nice...
beer with a side of beer.
That's right. Beer with a second beer.
You drink it out of a giant mug on a pirate ship.
Yes, yes, you Arc. Do. What is it actually called? It's not called a mug. A canter? What do pirates drink out of? There's a term for it that they have because you can fill it up. I forget what it's called. But yeah, Sea of Thieves.
oh, that's right. I forgot.
So the art style is... the character models aren't that great. That's never been really strong suit, I think. But the actual exploration, the actual kind of setting sail and working together as a team to navigate, like, you know, one person steering the ship, one person working the sails, one person working the map, one person, you know, like doing cannonballs and stuff like that. It's actually really fun. It's a nice way of doing an open world where it is an open world, but you don't necessarily know where, like, you don't always know where to go. Like, you have a map and you have to kind of figure out the coordinates and how to get there. And even after you do that, there's not necessarily way markers or like dotted lines on the field to tell you, okay, this is where you need to go and this is where you need to, and to start digging up treasures and stuff like that. So I think a lot of that is fun. The combat isn't that great. Still, it's very, I don't even want to say basic, because even basic would, I think, be more responsive.
It's an insult to basic.
Because, you can equip two weapons. By default, you have a cutlass and you have a pistol. And you fight skeletons, and the cutlass, and, you know, unlimited ammo, because it's a sword. But maybe I've played too many action games, so I expect responsive controls and for you to actually hit your target when you do stuff. But that's not what you get here. I don't know what you get, but it's not that fun. Like, usually it's just kind of me hoping that I get the three hits that's needed to take out a skeleton, or that I'm just running around in circles as bait as my teammates shoot them in the back. It's that great combat. But so far, it's not been asked of me a ton, so I'm okay with that. But
it's mostly like you're mostly on the ship, right? Like they're, you know, you do get off to go dig up your treasure or whatever, but most of it is on the boat.
Yes, and I hate that there are elements you get to react to. Like, there was one part where we were boarding the ship. Like, we went through a treasure hunt. You have to bring it back to the ship, and we were boarding it. And, like, two of us get on the ship, and, like, one of us is still in the water. And I look down, I'm like, oh, crap, there's a giant shark behind you. So I go and try to harpoon it. And my friend's just trying to find where the shark is, because for some reason he wants to fight it. But the shark eventually disappears underneath the boat, and he gets on, and we just, like, we book it out there. Then there's other times where, you know, like a giant thunderstorm hits, and as that's coming down, you also have to, like, you're on the ship, you're steering it and you're still directing it, but you also have to build out the ship so it doesn't take on too much water and sinks. If you run into stuff or if you get shot at, you can do damage to the ship, so you also have to repair that. So it's kind of like this little, it's a co-op game. I don't know, I honestly don't even know how you would play it by yourself, but like the fact that it like you get assigned so many different jobs at once, it's kind of throwing. The best part of that game is to your destination and back to, you know, deposit your treasures and gold and items. So yeah, as long as you don't find anything, you're golden.
Great.
I don't know. I remember it was early when it came out. Tony and I played with our friend Fozzie, and I just remember we got attacked by like another ship, and it was miserable.
Yeah, I remember being thrown in the brig once too. That I don't know. There's so much of that game. It sounds interesting in theory, but like I'm just sitting there in a jail cell doing nothing. So
well, I think you get thrown in there. Like, your teammates have to vote on that, right?
So, yeah, but it was just like some random teammates were just like, haha, let's throw this dude in the brig.
Yeah, that's why it's one of those games I feel like you have to play with people you know, because it's very easy to get dick in it. Like one of the downsides is like if you work as a team, you have to agree to a mission. So when I first started it, I had a random on my team. I'm like, okay, here's a mission. And the dude jumped ship. And it was like, okay, what are we supposed to do now? You can't vote on it. And jump ship. So yeah, I have that game. And then and the other thing that's kind of cool is like there are like he jumped ship and that was him just being a dick, but like we had one teammate who fell behind and didn't get to board the ship as we were taking off because we thought he was gonna make he fell off the ship while we were going, and by the time we realized it, because he was like he was on like the I don't know ship terms, but he was like on the like the very front of the ship, like there's a narrow part that overlooks it. Sure, we'll go with that. And he fell off. So by the time he notified us and stuff, like we dropped anchor and stuff. But like even when you drop, you still have momentum. And so yeah, he was too far behind. And then I guess like a mermaid shows up and teleports you back to the ship after a while. And the same thing happened.
That's not too bad.
No, not at all. And the same thing happens when you die. Like, you die, but you go to a ghost ship. You wait a few seconds, and then you kind of resurrect it on the actual ship.
Well, enjoy your time on the high seas.
That's right.
I will try.
Drink a lot and vomit on your friends and enemies.
That's the best part of the game, vomiting.
I was going to say my favorite part of the game. Not Tony's apparently, is I think the fact that you can kind of you can play different musical instruments together, or you can just play a musical instrument on your own. So you have like, I think by default you have like a banjo, a drum, a accordion, a bass. So it's really nifty, and each one kind of plays its own song. So I think the accordion, one of them plays like Flight of the Valkyries, and it's kind of really nifty to kind of get that all going when you're all playing different instruments. And again, a ton of it is just having fun with your friends on the high seas. So yeah, it's good for that, and it's my favorite price, $3.99.
Yeah, free is the right price for that game. I think Game Pass came out like it was out already, but it was
like the big first
thing
for Game Pass.
I remember Jeff still like pre-ordered it.
Yep,
and he was so disappointed.
He didn't even play it for like a week. He didn't touch it.
No,
and we're like, come play with us. No.
And of course,
after that first experience, we're like, oh, this sucks. I never played it again.
But, well, you play anything else, Earl?
I think that's it. I could be wrong. We'll find out.
Will we?
I played a pair of adventure games this past week. One was called Detention, which is... you guys might know of it because last year there was a the company that released the game. They released a new one called Devotion, and it got pulled from Steam pretty quickly because of Winnie the Pooh was in it.
And, oh, God.
And this is a Taiwanese game developer, and Winnie Disney the Pooh pounced. In, well, no, not necessarily Disney, but China pounced.
Yep.
Because of the leader.
Because everybody calls him Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. So Detention was a 2017 point-and-click adventure game that takes place in the 60s when Taiwan was under martial law. And you play as this girl who, as the game moves on, you find out that she turned in her ex-teacher and some of the other teachers and students for reading books that were banned, ultimately resulting in some of their deaths or imprisonment. So it's a little dark, but it takes place in like this fantasy world where, because you're going through, I guess, the memory of it. So it's like this haunting memory for her and for the other boy that was her age. But it's still very much it's very point and click adventure. Like, use this item on this thing to open this, and I don't know. It received like critical acclaim when the game came out, and it's holding a very positive rating on Steam. But it's fine. I was not blown away by it. It's cool to see like a different, like that's not a culture or a time period we get a lot of games in, but I was not like blown away by it at all. And the other game I played was Kentucky Route Zero, which after 7 years or so has finally completed itself. It was 2013. I remember we talked about it on this show. Fozzie played the first episode then and was in love with it.
Oh God, it was Fozzie.
Yeah.
Then this was ancient times ago.
Yeah, it's like the first episode came out years ago. I remember playing it, but I don't remember anything about it when I replayed it this time. And it took 7 years for all five episodes to come out. It's a very small team. Calling this an adventure game is maybe stretching the term a bit. It's more like a visual choose your own adventure novel. Like the only things you're really doing are selecting dialogue options, and that can determine like how the story progresses. It's fascinating. It's very like David Lynch-y, Twin Peaks-ish, like at least for the first few episodes.
I was gonna say, isn't it the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, David Lynch did Twin Peaks, but like to give people, I guess, a frame of reference for kind of like what it is. Like, it's in like that. It's like a magical fantasy, but like magical realism or something. Is where like things are off about everything. And so the game, like you start out, you're delivering this final delivery for this antique store, some furniture or something, and the address doesn't really appear on any map. So you start kind of, asking around, and you find out that you have to take this route, the zero. And it's like a route through dimensions and time. And, it's a pretty trippy experience. I don't think it lands the ending. Like the final episode is only like maybe 40 minutes long, and it doesn't really build on everything else that it's just kind of like, all right, well, you reached your destination.
Congratulations.
Kind of. It's like, I don't know. Like you spent four episodes, like building up this crazy land. And like this final episode is we're burying some horses, just continuing to talk to everybody in the area. It's a really weird thing. I look back at it now because I think Polygon at the time picked it as their game of the year when that first episode came out. And I really wonder now, like,
why?
You guys stand behind that? Like, because there's not much here. Like, it's not much of a game. It's kind of a visual novel. interesting take on things. Like, it's very it's very pro worker, and like it kind of paints companies as soul sucking, which in some cases they are. How they like they you know they basically how society has entrapped us to make us like we go to work like that is our life, like and some of the philosophy behind it is trying to, hey, people should, you know, follow their dreams and live life, like, okay, we still need to work, so this isn't really tying that piece up. But I don't know, I would not recommend buying it. I bought it 7 years ago. You know, when it's like, oh, it's like, you know, episodic gaming. I remember Fozzie like kind of going off like episodic gaming's it's the next big thing. Like, and this game was one of the ones that he kind of stuck behind on it. And this episodic, that's
not be true.
Yeah, it really hasn't. But like this one in particular took 7 years for 5 episodes to come out. So for all the shit we gave Telltale for their terrible release schedule, this was even worse. And I get it, it's a really small team, but I don't know. I was not super like impressed. Like it's a cool story, but I don't think people should maybe rush out and buy it. Tony, you've been playing some Apex Legends.
I have. So our friend Walt was all over having us buy the season pass.
Yeah.
I have yet to buy a season pass for Apex Legends. So there's nothing else coming out. So I figured, you know, $9 for one game until, I don't know, September, whatever the next game that I might actually come out with, but, was plenty. So I picked up the season pass. I haven't played Apex in a couple of months, I guess. Mm-hmm. I haven't played a ton of it anyway. I can actually kill people now, which is nice. There are some cool new weapons. Sniping in the game seems to be a much better option now. One of the new weapons is like a chargeable sniper rifle.
Okay, I think sniper rifles in general might be new, because I don't remember them previously.
Yeah. I seem to have seen them a few times, although there's like sniper rifle ammo. So maybe you're right. Maybe they just didn't have them in the game before.
Like there were like sniper attachments, and you could make like, you know, the other guns kind of be a sniper. But like, I haven't used the sniper rifle now in New Apex. Are they like single shot? Like, are they like bolt action or
single shot? It depends on the sniper rifle, but most of them seem to be the single shot bolt action type. They're super powerful. I was able to kill a couple people in one hit.
Nice.
So, in fact, I killed two people with one bullet at one point. I've always liked to play sniper games like Battlefield. Way back when I played, I can't remember the name of the game. But I've always like aimed towards the sniper rifle.
Tribes.
Is that
what you were looking for?
That's right. Tribes too. I was in a clan, and I was actually the sniper was my role. So I kind of aim like lean towards that when I get into these type of games, and to like have it in Apex. And there seem to be plenty of sniper rifles laying around now, so it's a good option. And it's with the environments being as open as they are, maybe the players move pretty fast, but it's still like a really viable strategy. So
nice.
Enjoying it. Enjoying killing people from afar.
Have you got to play as the new Death Reaper?
I've seen other people play as the Death Reaper. I haven't bought any characters.
Okay.
So actually, one of the interesting things, so since I have the pass, it's really similar to Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like pass levels as you move down the season. But when you're playing, you get your goals, and some of them can be for characters that you don't actually own. which kind of sucks when you compare it to Fortnite. Like, you weren't prevented from obtaining certain objectives because you had something.
Because every character, every skin in Fortnite is still the same character. It's just you, as opposed to this is a hero shooter. So yeah, you are locked out of that.
So yeah, it's like, okay, finish in the top three with this character that you don't have. Ha 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 ha. I mean, I could spend $15 and get the character.
Right.
Probably not going to do that. So I may have to live without finishing the season pass if those kind of goals pop up. Although you can replace a goal a day, I think. So if you end up with one of those, you could try to. But of course, it's random what they assign it to. So they could just assign you another different character that you didn't know.
Play as like Death Robot Dude, and then you get play as Crypto. I'm like, I don't have either one.
Exactly.
I almost have enough of the the currency you get when you level up to buy the Death guy. So.
Did you pick up the season pass? Are you going to come out and play with us?
I have not got it. I will get it this weekend. I'll probably end up buying it, tomorrow or so. So, but you can gain, just like Fortnite, there's like a free pass as well. So you start gaining levels immediately.
Right.
But there's like experience boosts on the paid pass. So like
get. You hit a certain level and you start to level up, not just yourself, but you could level up the other people in your group.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, I think when Apex Legends came out, we talked about some of that. But I do like how much they realize, like, this is a team game. And to have, like, some of these team benefits where it's not, like, one dude outpacing the others in such a rapid manner because they paid for it.
Right.
It's nice. Because I do want to get back to it, but it's only three players, so... it's always the odd man out, literally. But
you
could have
played with
it.
Us the other night.
I couldn't. I was working last night. I didn't get home until I think by the time I got home, you folks were done.
How dare you?
It was yesterday, not Tuesday.
It was Tuesday. Yeah.
We could play it at some point. I'm gonna play a little bit of it. I'm sure I won't finish the season pass, but
there's no way I'll get close. But it's nice to have something. Like, I've played nothing Witcher since the beginning of January. You know, sprinkled in with the odd game of Madden, but literally nothing that has come out this year. So it's nice.
Considering nothing has come out this year,
that's not surprising. it's been rough. The one game I was thinking about buying, the Dark Crystal game, is evidently
bad.
Bad is probably the right word. I was going to say mediocre at best, but bad is probably the right word.
I didn't even know it was out. Is it out or is it just being reviewed?
No, it's out. It came out came out 2 days ago.
Oh God.
And it's reviewing as weak. Mid-60s.
And it's not like there's no shortage of games, John. So.
No. There's plenty of stuff not coming out. So I don't think there's anything in February that I'm looking forward to.
I mean, but we've had that.
We've had that talk. Jeff has tried to dispute it, but I don't think he's buying anything in February either.
Don't worry, Chris. There's tons of plenty of fantastic games out. Other Chris, not you.
Yes. But look, we're not saying there aren't going to be games. It's just.
No, I mean, dude, you've said that. I mean, there are going to be games. I'm sure I can turn on my Switch, Xbox, and PS4 right now. And there are games that came out this week. But I mean, it's like. It's the same way that there's movies that come out every week, but there's not movies you want to see every week.
That's true. I've gone to the movies only like 3 times so far.
That is so odd. I mean, I've been 3 times, but twice was to see Bad Boys. No, I've been more. I saw 1917 as well.
So 1917 was last year, but yes, I saw that this year.
I mean, it was last year, but I mean, it really was this year.
Right. Because like
I mean, I'm in New York, so I was in New York, so it's technically last year for me as well. But I finally got around to seeing it this week, and it's a video game, and I mean that in the sense that it's a visual masterpiece. The story's whatever.
The story is very, very bare bones.
But like, the technology and everything is fantastic. So, and I saw Birds of Prey, which I also enjoyed, but that was a whole different piece.
Yes, I saw Birds. I have not seen Birds of Prey. I saw Bad Boys, which was good, and I saw Underwater, which was okay.
Oh, okay. I've heard mixed. I'm actually really. Oh, I want to see Sonic, which is out next.
Why? Week. Why, God? Why?
I mean, I said this on Twitter this week. I hate the fact that I'm excited for it, but some of the stuff I've seen recently actually looks like a good movie.
Oh God. The inflection on your voice just made that like. Well, I mean, don't believe it.
Maybe.
At all.
Maybe. Like, I mean, like, yeah, it's
does
kind
it
of
exist,
like.
He? I don't know.
It's kind of like it looks good, but I mean, yeah, there's still this huge thing like there's still a video game movie about Sonic the Hedgehog taking a road trip with not Cyclops. What is that guy's
name? Superman. No, he wasn't Superman. He was Superman's girlfriend's husband.
Oh, so he is Cyclops then.
Yeah.
James Marsden.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. It's him. There's another dude who looks like him. I always get confused. So I thought it was not. I thought it was the other one. But yeah, it's like Sonic's a like super fast creature, and you made a road trip movie. That makes sense. But actually, I think if I understand correctly. I will be, fingers crossed, I will be back next week.
Oh, with the Sonic
after seeing
review?
Sonic. Yes, because I have seen it Thursday. I have tickets Thursday with some friends. After work, we are going to grab some drinks. And then we're going to see, because everybody, we were going to see it the weekend, but it's Valentine's Day, so everybody just, it's like, nobody's girlfriend or wife is going to want to see Sonic the Hedgehog, so.
No, I was like.
Oh, honey, let's go. Come
on. My wife was like, so like we don't really do anything for Valentine's Day, and she was trying to invite people. And I'm like, well, like some people do go out for Valentine's Day. And she's like, oh, like what? I was like, well, come on, we can go to the movies or something. She's like, well, what do you want to go see? I'm like, Sonic the Hedgehog comes out. She's like, all right, well, what else you got? Because I ain't going to see that one. Yeah. I'm currently looking at the release calendar on OpenCritic. It's a different list than what we've used previously. They have three games listed in April, one in May, and then nothing until September.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Apex, Tony's going to continue playing. I'm going to play it. Maybe Earl will jump in with us at some point.
Yeah, Fortnite has a Harley Quinn skin, so I might try to get that.
Nice. I want to play a little bit of Apex with Walt. He seems to be good at it.
Yes, he's actually better at this than I've seen. High hopes. Might actually win.
So, like, there's achievements for winning as the different... the different classes, not necessarily as the different characters, but like if you win as a medic or so winning as all of the different classes will get you an achievement, I guess. So maybe I can tag along and let Walt carry me and get those achievements there. All right. There's some news. There's some financial news.
Financial news.
I don't have it up, so let's hope Earl remembers what it is mentally.
Yes, ask the guy who's been drinking.
That's a good idea. It's very good.
It's brilliant.
So, I mean, before we get to the financials, I mean, I guess Nintendo came out last week, and that was actually the one thing that came out before we recorded last week's episode. But since we focused on board games, it wasn't a big deal. That they are up. They are doing well, which is a great turnaround from the Wii U. I think the big story is Pokemon sold 16.5 million in a month and a half. Mario Kart is nearing 23 million units sold. Splatoon is nearing 10 million. I think Odyssey and Breath of the Wild are near 15 million each. Smash Brothers is like almost anything that you really. I guess the big story outside of those is that Ring Fit Adventure is almost 3 million units sold in about 2 months.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean it's seen amazing demand in Japan, and it continues to do well. They are running all in stock, and it's actually, I mean, doesn't affect me one way or another, but it's kind of impressive because you get like, I mean, how many of you remember 1-2 Switch?
I do. That was the one of the games that they showcased.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They showcased it. And it was like one of the big launch titles, and then nothing. Like I don't like it. Does it didn't have the longevity of Wii Sports, nor was it as well built as Nintendo Land. It's just kind of there, and then Nabo, which I still think is a great idea, just never caught on.
Yeah.
Microsoft came out with Microsoft is always iffy with numbers. I think the big thing with them is like you know continued growth in Xbox Live services, and I think the thing that a lot of people talked about, not necessarily out of the investors meeting, but with a Phil Spencer interview sometime this week, is he said that he doesn't necessarily see Nintendo and Sony as competition. To him, the competition they're looking at is Google and Amazon. And a lot of people took that the wrong way, but I'm like, yeah, those are the people. Like you kind of know what you're getting with Nintendo and Sony at this point. You get the enemies from that are approaching from behind you at this point.
Yeah.
What else? I don't remember Sony's financials. They are doing well.
They're not hurting.
Yeah. And they don't really break down games as much as Nintendo does, and I don't think Microsoft breaks down games at all. Ubisoft had their financials today. I think the big thing is that they expect 5 games between April and March of next year.
Yes.
And one of them is not Beyond Good and Evil 2. So that is due after that period. I don't know when. I don't think they know when.
It's not a real game.
Like, when was Beyond Good and Evil 2 announced? I feel like it was announced.
It was like 2007, wasn't it?
I think it was last gen. I don't know if it was that early. But...
It is, but they've been working on it forever, as they keep on saying. But yeah, it is not out in the next year. And that is, I mean, it's especially weird since I think, not even last year, I think 2 years ago, they showed off like an actual like CG trailer of like the start of the game. And it's like, yeah, still not a thing.
This Wikipedia article is saying it wasn't officially announced until 2017. But there have been rumors, Tony, since 2007. And a leak trailer appeared in 2009.
Yeah, so, I swore they announced it before then.
Yeah.
Well, that was the official. And Ubisoft yet to announce the title. Let's see. Since these trailers up until 2016, so all the trailers that we had seen before that were just leaked out of Ubisoft.
So they announced it in 2016. They showed it in 2017.
State of Beyond Good and Evil 2 was unclear, with conflicting statements made by Ubisoft and Ansel. So the guy who's directing it, he was saying it was in the works. Ubisoft was like, yeah, no, that's not real. Ubisoft had yet to officially announce the title, and thus production was not officially started. Ansel left Ubisoft Montpellier by 2016. He confirmed that they had put aside work on Beyond Good and Evil 2, which enabled them to produce blah, blah, blah. It wasn't until 2017 when they officially announced it in 2017. There were rumors all the way up until then, though.
Okay, sure. All ridiculous. Go with whatever. Whatever makes them sleep at night. New Call of Duty game announced for the fall. Going back to Nintendo real quick. They announced the Animal Crossing Switch, which is a Switch and not a Switchite. It is like a tail pattern system with new Joy-Cons and a different base. It retails for $300. Comes out in early March-ish, maybe. I think they announced it, and then I think reports came out today that some of the production will be delayed due to the coronavirus outbreak in China, which has affected several, I think, titles, including, I think, we didn't talk about this, but the Outer Worlds Switch port was announced to come out in March. And I think that was also today because of the same outbreak. So that's going well.
I guess that's because of production on the carts.
The disc, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess digital discs is no real reason to delay it, but...
Yeah.
What was I going to say? There was... while this is on my mind, I think there's a Kingdom Hearts Complete Edition announced.
Yep. All in one or something like that, I think.
Yes. What it was called. So it's all of the games up until this point, which is essentially the story so far for Kingdom Hearts 3. So, yes, they're going to find ways to keep on selling the same collection of games, I guess.
Yep. So what I found weird about this is seemingly only PS4 still.
Well, isn't the story so far with PS4 as well?
Yeah, but there was the announcement back in November that Kingdom Hearts, like the entire series, was coming to Xbox.
Oh yeah, and then I don't.
So when this was announced, I was like, oh, we're finally gonna, timeline on that. Still don't see it. So, oh well. Nope. $100 for this though.
Yeah. Which is also about the same price that you would have paid for Kingdom Hearts 3 and the story so far on most bundles at launch. So I guess it has the Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC, so you'll get that. And as somebody said on Twitter, like several people said, like this better be like they're making no more Kingdom Hearts for a long time.
I think they already announced that there's like another. I mean, yes, Kingdom Hearts on console might be a ways off, but they like announced another like mobile game recently, so they're not done with Kingdom Hearts yet.
So that's fun. Yeah. And I think the big news story of the week, I guess I'm missing anything else, is Dan Houser is out at Rockstar. He is one of the co-founders.
Yep.
With his brother.
One of the main writers of Red Dead and GTA and Bully and most of their titles, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that is, I mean, yeah, they were kind of the creative forces behind the entire lineup. So, it.
But it's just one Houser and not the other?
Yes.
Yes, Sam Houser is still with the company.
Interesting choice. It's going to make for some awkward dinners.
Well, I mean, he left the company on his own accord. It's not like he was pushed out or anything.
Right. Sure, yeah, he wasn't fired. Left on his own. What I find interesting about it though is like, so he was one of the primary writers, like, of all these. Is this maybe an indication that they're pushing more and more on that online stuff where they're not going to need somebody to kind of plot out and write a big story for their games going forward, because this online model doesn't need that necessarily?
I mean, it's doing well for them. Yeah. Though, as noted in their financial statements, they did take a big hit without having a mainstay title out this year, which is kind of how their business always worked. But without Red Dead Redemption 2 this year, there's a big decline. So, the online model works in that it continues to sustain revenue. but they also do need those big single-player titles every now and then.
Yeah, and then maybe they will. I don't know. I wonder what a GTA 6 looks like.
Yeah, I mean, like at this point, you are kind of screwed because it's been so long that you can't just do GTA 5 but prettier.
Right.
So
you need to do something different going forward, so we'll see. Anything else going on there?
I think that's it.
Didn't Rod Ferguson
leave? Yes, Rod Ferguson has or will be leaving the Coalition. I don't know when exactly that takes place, but he's going to join Blizzard. He's going to take charge of Diablo for them. So,
okay.
Interesting.
That does remind me of another story. I don't know if you folks saw this, but everybody's favorite game developer,
Cliffy B.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I like Cliffy. Cliffy does not know how to keep his foot out of his mouth.
This is true.
I don't know if he just likes it there or if he just likes the reactions, but
probably a bit of both.
He decided to talk this week about a game that everybody I actually forgot existed.
Yeah. The less he says about his games that he made with Boss Key, it's probably better for him.
But he can't do that, so yes,
it's against his nature.
So according to Cliffy B, the reason that Lawbreakers, if you remember, it's like I think it was a PC game made 2017, 2018.
Yeah, on PS4 as well.
Oh, was it? Okay, I did not even know that. He said the reason that it failed was because the game was too woke. And that's not a summation of what he said. That is what he said.
Was it now?
And I will be honest, there's nothing sadder than an old white dude saying something about being woke. Because it's...
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Even a young white dude. White dudes,
but, yeah.
Stop being woke. You're not.
Let me see if I could find the actual quote. But it was essentially that... that because it was like, oh, these women aren't sexualized, so it became about him pandering to social justice warriors or something like that.
But like Overwatch has women, I mean, they also have women that are sexualized, but there are women in Overwatch that aren't sexualized, like where they're just allowed to be characters. That game did pretty well for itself.
I mean, there's a lot of things you can say, but are you Cliffy B?
No. I am not. I do not own a Lamborghini.
Okay. So one big epiphany I had that pushed my own was that I pushed my own personal political beliefs in a world that was increasingly divided. Instead of the story being this game looks neat, it became... this is the game with the woke bro trying to push his hacky politics on us with gender-neutral bathrooms. Instead of these characters seem fun, it was, this is the studio with the CEO who refuses to make his female characters sexier. Instead of who am I going to choose, it became white dude shoehorns diversity in his games and then smell his own smug farts in interviews. Instead of just letting the product speak for itself. So yes, this is his words on why our breakers did not succeed.
He thinks really highly of Cliffy B.
Or maybe it just wasn't good.
Right.
I think that's it
more than anything.
I mean, I don't even know if it was good or bad, but it's like, it's one of those, it's like going back to the 360 generation and blaming your first person shooters for failing for all these reasons instead of the obvious one being like, Call of Duty is like right there.
Yeah.
So you're coming into a field where Overwatch is king. Like, it's not even like a contest at that point. You're not doing anything really different. And you were kind of an extended beta. Yeah, like there were ways to pivot and stuff, but it wasn't like, I don't even know if the characters to care if they were woke or not.
I don't remember any of the characters.
Yeah.
And I don't
think it's more about him wanting failure to less about his quality of his work, about something else. And he doesn't care what that other thing is.
I don't think any of us played Lawbreakers. But do you remember any discourse in this case? Like, I remember people talking about Lawbreakers, like, a little bit. But none of this. I don't remember any of this.
No, I'm actually really fascinated now to kind of see the characters. Because I don't even... Like, I don't remember... Like, the only thing I can remember is, like, this is not Overwatch. And I think it was full price or something at launch, and it wasn't worth it for people.
Sure. It sounds like it should have been a free-to-play game.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was their big thing, is they never switched that model. It's just like, okay, this didn't work. It's Kills Up Shop. Okay, and I'm going to say this, just kind of looking at a quick Google image search, that it's not that your characters were too woke or not sexy. It's that your characters are really generic and ugly-looking.
Oh, wonderful.
Like, none of these characters stand out to me as anything resembling good character design.
Huh.
They ain't woke, they broke.
Yeah, let's see. So, yeah, I'm not, I don't know. None of these are like, yeah, these are. There's a chick in a mech suit that looks kind of cool. Kind of, but also not very different from other things that have worn mech suits.
Yeah, like, it's... Just because I enjoy beating up on this game so much, it reminds me of when Fuse changed his art style to become more serious. And it's like, yes, you can become more serious, but that means you take away a lot of personality. And if one thing that Overwatch has going for it is that it has a ton of personality. And it's not just Overwatch. There are games in the Overwatch mode that have continued to succeed. I mean, one of the ones that I play, every now and then, is Paladins, which came out after Overwatch, and it's still a free-to-play game, and it is still played, and it is still being supported by the developers. I don't see why the Lawbreakers couldn't have filled that niche as well.
Right. And maybe it's some of it is the, you know, it was an arena shooter on top of everything. It was a hero shooter as well, but it was still an arena shooter like Unreal. And those games just don't do well anymore. So if you didn't have any personality behind it, and like, well, what was your selling point? It certainly wasn't that you were too woke.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also just remember not hearing very much about the game.
Like, yeah.
You get beaten over the head when a shooter is good. Like, it's everywhere. And this game wasn't anywhere at any point.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I mean,
the only thing I remember about this game, I think I shared this story on this podcast before, was I went to PAX West several years ago with one of my best friends, and they had an off-site demo, but you didn't know how to get there. So at PAX West, there would be people walking around and be like, oh, do you want to get into this fans and play a game with us? Like an unmarked fan. I'm like, yeah, sure, let's go. And my friend's being my friend. He's like, okay, we'll go. And so we did that, and it was a payoff breaker, so we got to try it out and everything. And all I remember is that he told his wife, and she's like, you two are never going out on your own again. She's like, you went in an unmarked van. I'm like, they were saying to play video games. I trusted them. It worked out.
We're alive. Come on.
So, yes, don't take me anywhere.
All right. I'm going to have to keep an eye on you when we're in Boston, aren't I?
I mean, as long as there's not like any unmarked vehicles, you should be fine.
It's the marked one.
No, Earl, you can't go in that van. Why not? Looks so much fun.
Hey, I'm still kicking, so I got something to go for me.
You survived. It's fine.
But
well, speaking of Cliffy and, you know, tying back to the Gears piece, he also tweeted today at Microsoft, or kind of like subtweeting at Microsoft, saying that, hey, I'm available to consult on Gears if you want me.
But Gears has become a better franchise without him. I mean, to kind of go to his point about making his, like, not making his character sexy, I mean, the female characters look better in Gears 4 and 5 than they did in 1 through 3.
Yeah, I like Kate a lot, and I think,
and they're actual characters.
Yeah, they're actual. Yes, they've been given personality. Even the ones that he created. Well, I mean, they killed off Anya, but like Sam, she's been given some personality, you know, in the overarching world. So there's stuff out there. I don't necessarily think Cliffy needs to consult on Gears. Like,
I think
the series is in a good spot.
Yeah, I think Cliffy needs to just go hang out with David Jaffe, and they could do their thing.
Just make stream.
Just make games when he pays. Like, make a bunch of indie games.
Yeah. Go back and make a platformer again. He did that Jazz Jack. Go make that.
Yeah, honestly, I think that's what him... That's what he needs. He needs, like, a low budget, some restraints. It's kind of the George Lucas thing where people are like, oh, Skiffy B can do no wrong. And he can. He can, very much so. Everybody can.
So we saw Lawbreakers and what was the other game that never really kind of came out? Radical Heights. His Fortnite knockoff that never really made it past the alpha stage. He could do plenty wrong.
Yeah.
So, Rod Ferguson off to Blizzard. Hopefully he can get Diablo on track. Because Blizzard could use a win. They're struggling a bit. They released Warcraft 3 Reforged last week. Last week, I think, and that is a mess of a game.
Yeah, don't play that. Play other things.
Yeah. So they were supposed to update cutscenes and kind of some story stuff. They didn't do any of that. They did update the character models, so the character models look good. Like, they look modern instead of the kind of janky thing that they were. But you know, they didn't update the cutscenes. They did not update the story any. They have introduced a whole host of bugs. Any of the previous modes that the players had created are not compatible with this version, which I don't know if people should really be upset about that.
Well, what people are upset about, and it's super fun, is that they added a separation that anything made in the game is their property now. And that has, of course, gone over super well with the internet.
Yeah. On one hand, I see why they're doing it. They don't want to be put in a position where somebody creates something with their tools and then goes and works for their competitor and makes the biggest game in the world. But that could happen anyway, I guess.
Yeah, but I get that, and I get them covering their asses. I think it was just the way that it was kind of snuck in there without any real communication with the community, because I don't think people discovered it until they got the game and saw, like, the TOS.
Yep, and then, you know, add everything on top of that, and it just became a giant shit show, so. Oh, Blizzard. Keep shooting yourself in the foot.
They love it.
They're not the same. They're not the same company that they were before, though. Like, I think people look back and go, same with BioWare, right? Like, people look back with, you know, those rose-colored glasses, remembering the good old days. Like, that's not who that company is anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, people aren't there. Even if it is, like, game development has changed so much that you can't achieve, you could achieve 15 years the same level.
Yeah. Like, everybody's caught up to what Blizzard was doing to their model. So, like, you need to adjust. But I think that's it for news, unless Earl, you have anything else.
I hope I'm good.
All right. We're probably not gonna have new games next week either.
Well, I have one. I do have a new old game to hopefully play next week. I did pick up Xenoblade 2, the Golden Torrent, whatever the DLC expansion is called. Mm-hmm. I got that this week for like $20 on Amazon. So hopefully, I get to dig into that.
All right, maybe I'll play some strategy games.
Yeah,
Jeff can be happy.
There's also, I believe there are games on Xbox Game Pass, games with gold, and PlayStation Plus that I'm interested in.
Yeah, I want to try that Plague's Tale that just came out on Game Pass. I have Frostpunk downloaded. I want to try that. Final Fantasy 15 is coming, so I heard you wanted to try that, Earl.
Yeah. Yes, I wanted to try that ages ago, but that's a story for another day.
So we'll have some stuff. Jeff can keep telling us how great this year has been.
This year sucks.
On one hand, like, I want Animal Crossing to be good, but on the other, I kind of want it to be like a nightmarish shit show.
I want Jeff to suffer.
Just to like see Jeff flip out. And what if Doom isn't good?
That seems more likely than Animal Crossing. No.
He would have a total shit fit. They both come out the same day. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Earl, you do the honors. Take us out.
Good night.
So soulful.